Welcome to the St. Anne Roman Catholic Podcast, coming to you from Gilbert, Arizona. We pray that God will bless your time as you listen.
Years ago, when I was pastor in one of the parishes here in the diocese, I became acquainted with a young widow who I did her husband's funeral, actually, 25, 30 years ago. Anyway, we became somewhat friendly. She had a job, a real job, 9 to 5. And occasionally she would, on weekends, help out at the rectory. So I got to know her. Her birthday was in October. She was born on the Feast of the Guardian Angels. So every October, of course, the people that she worked with, which was mainly her, was her primary family, because she had no family here. Family was overseas. And she was very well liked. So they would have a little party for her in the office. Well, then, like the next day, I'd say, well, what did you do today? And she'd say, well, I went out for a birthday lunch. And then next day, what would you do? I went out for a birthday lunch. So it seemed, by the time we got to mid-October, it dawned on me that the guardian angels wasn't just her birthday. Every day in October was her birthday, which I didn't think was a bad idea. I tell you this story because last week, of course, was Mother's Day, huh? And I believe that the whole week we should celebrate Mother's Day, not just on that one day. So this is kind of the conclusion of what I call Mother's Day week. So I would like to talk today about mothers and about love. People often ask me where I got my inspiration to become a priest, and I would have to say probably from my mother, who was a very loving person. I was born in the 1940s. In the 40s and 50s, it was a different time. People didn't talk about love like they do today. Families didn't talk about love. Matter of fact, I don't even think I ever saw my mother and father kiss. I'm sure they did, and maybe on a birthday or a Christmas Eve or something. Other than that, you know, my father didn't kiss my mother goodbye in the morning or when he left for work. And I never heard my mother say, I love you. Just wasn't done. I mean, it wasn't that she didn't love me, but the words didn't come out. And even with my father, maybe she did in the intimate moments of their life, but I never heard her say to him, I love you, and give him a big kiss. Other than maybe babies that were in our family saying, oh, I love you, you know. But the children, as we grew up, we didn't hear, I love you all the time. Like today, talk to somebody on the phone, your mother, your father, your sister, your brother, what's the first thing you say when you hang up? I love you, which is fine, I have no problem with that. Huh? And I love you, you know, you say it to your people that you know, and then it gets expanded to people that you work with, maybe. People that you know, just, you know, kind of casually. Pretty soon we'll be saying, I love you, to the guy at the bank. The person who answers the phone when you call for information on at Macy's or one of the stores, oh, I love you. You know. We can get carried away. But my point is, my mother and father, really, but mainly my mother, showed love, not by saying love, by living love. Now, I see head shaking because a lot of you know exactly what I'm talking about. She lived her love. How? By taking care of her family, and husband and 4 children. There were times when, at certain ages, my mother would be packing 5 lunches a day. One for my father, one for each of the 4 children. You know, that's a lot of work to pack 5 lunches a day, when knowing what everybody likes and what they don't like, you know, little extras and goodies. She made bread every day. Every day of the week she made fresh bread, so we always had fresh bread. How I wish I could eat that fresh bread today, but it's gone. Anyway, she showed her love in those ways, huh? And that taught me about love. Well, let me tell you another story about a mother's love. About 40 years ago, my father died. Right when I was thinking about being a priest, 40 years ago or so, my dad died. And I was living at home, so it was just me and my mother. Well, one day, 2 weeks after he died, I had gone back to work. It was my first day back to my job, because I had a job before I entered the priesthood. I was a social worker back in Pennsylvania. So I went to work the first day after my dad died, and well, God took care, and he was holding the strings of everything that happened that day. As I went to work, it was a nice day. Everybody welcomed me back. People said, "Oh, Dennis, you know, you haven't been here a while. Let's go out for a drink after work." And I said, "No, I've got to get home." I told my mother we were going to put up the Christmas tree, because she didn't want to put up the tree that year because my dad had just died. I said, "Nope, I have to go put up the help my mother put up the tree, put the tree up, basically." So then another good friend of mine said to me, "Oh, Dennis, I have this girl I want you to meet. Why don't we meet after work? And, you know, I've been dying to have her meet you." "Thank you, Eunice, but I can't. I have to go home. I told my mother we're going to put up the tree." And several other people made me little offers to do things after work, which I had to turn down. "I've got to get home and put up that tree." So I drove home. It was in December, a couple weeks before Christmas, shortly before Christmas. And I worked about 25 miles from home. And I got to about a half a mile from my house, from where I had an accident right there. Well, some drunken 18-year-old kid come flying around the bend, just had no idea where he was going, and was just bombed completely, and smacked right into the front of my car. Knocked me right out, unconscious. I don't usually tell this to people, but when I was unconscious, I had been thinking about the priesthood. I heard a voice telling me that next September I would go enter the seminary. I heard a voice telling me that. I had a religious experience. And then, next thing I know, they're wheeling me out of the car, trying to get me out of the car and getting me to the hospital. The car was damaged so bad, my older brother went to see it, and he said, "Dennis, I cried when I saw that car." I said, "Well, what do you mean?" He said, "Every inch of that car was smashed in. The front end, the back end, the passenger side. The only space left in that car was where you were sitting." I thought, wow, God must have saved me for something, huh? The only space in that car was where you were sitting. And I got out. I had a broken leg, and I was in shock, but I really wasn't serious injuries, but serious enough to keep me in the hospital and put a cast on my leg, which is what they did right away. As soon as I got to the hospital, boom, boom, there goes a cast on my broken leg. Doctor left. Well, if you know anything about medicine, when you have a broken leg and you put the cast on right away, it's probably not a good idea. Why? Because your leg starts to swell up. So here I was with this cast on my leg, swelling inside the leg, and my leg is swelling and getting more, and it was aggravatingly painful, agonizingly painful. I don't think I ever felt a pain as bad as, I can still remember it, pain as bad as I felt when that cast was restricting my leg. I was screaming. My mother, by this time, she's only half a mile from home, made her way to the hospital. And she was standing, I'm in the bed, she's standing right here. And I was just, as I said, in agonizing pain, calling for the nurses and the doctor, somebody do something, you know. Anyway, my mother standing there, I'll never forget her saying this. She said to me, "Dennis, I wish I could take your pain." Now this was around the time, I think it was around the time Bill Clinton used to say, "I feel your pain." Well, my mother did Bill one better. She said, I wish I could take your pain. And if I didn't hear her, she said it again. She said, Dennis, I wish God would give me your pain and take it from you. Now, she didn't have to say, I love you, did she? If that's not an act of love, I don't know what is. Huh? Well, I tell you this story because that day was a real turning point in my life. Out of the pain and the agony that I felt on that hospital bed so many years ago came a revelation. The revelation was this. My mother was loving me as Jesus had loved her. She was following Jesus' command to love one another, as he says in our gospel today. Yeah. To love one another as I have loved you. So much so that she wanted to take, literally, to take my pain. I know she was serious. If she could have, she would have. As I reflected on her words, it finally dawned on me. You might even say, I saw the light. At any rate, I realized that this is exactly what our Lord Jesus has done for us. He literally took all our pain when he hung on that cross. And when we come to recognize his self-sacrifice, we know that he suffered in retribution for the sins of all of us. And so our message today is loud and clear. The next time that you're hurting or in pain or suffering, physical, emotional, even spiritual, don't fall into the trap of thinking that God is punishing you or sacrificing you. It could be that God may be trying to reveal something to you, as he did to me that day. Remember, Jesus has already taken on the pains of your sins. Remember that Jesus has already suffered enough for us all. Suffered enough for us all forever. You have already been saved, and salvation is already yours. I'm going to interject a little story that I read on the internet. I assume it was true, you know, about all this fake news stuff, you know. It was a story about our Holy Father, who I call Saint Francis, because I think he's going to be canonized during his life, Pope Saint Francis. Not everybody feels that way, I know, but I do. Anyway, the story was about Pope Saint Francis, and he said he sleeps very well at night. He never goes to bed stressed. I thought, oh, all the weight of the church that's on his shoulders. It's amazing he can say, I sleep very well. And I said, and he said, I'll tell you how. He was giving an interview to Carrera della Sera, a magazine, a newspaper of Rome. He gave this interview. He said, well, this is how I sleep well. He said, every night before I go to bed, I think about all the things that I have to worry about. He said, I write them down. I actually write them down on a piece of paper. All of them. And then I put him under a statue of Saint Joseph that I have in my room and give them to him. And he and God can work this out. And he said, I sleep very well. I don't think about a thing. I don't worry about a thing. I sleep very well. So back to the point. Remember, Jesus has suffered enough for us all. Forever. You have already been saved. Salvation is already yours. All any of us needs to do is to learn how to love. Huh? Jesus pleads with us to devote our time and energy and your whole being to learning the fine art of imitating Jesus' love. Look to your own families, your friends, and practice really loving them, no matter what the consequences, no matter how much you may even dislike them. to love them. And finally, if you, like me, learned much about love from your own mother, or if you're a mother, and you are teaching your children this kind of love, then I'm sure that you join me in wishing all the mothers here and everywhere a truly blessed, happy, holy end of Mother's Day week. Bless you all, dear friends, in these thoughts.
Thank you for listening to the St. Anne Roman Catholic Podcast. For additional podcasts and media, visit us on the web at www.stanneaz.org. Again, that's www.stanneaz.org. St. Anne, pray for us.